next segment. Then in the fourth hour, Kyle Serafin joins us with huge inside news from the FBI, the DOJ, Epstein, you name it, huge developments on that front. Bill Gates admitting, oh, there were Russian hookers and all that stuff. And Larry Summers, the big Clinton chief economist, resigning at Harvard. A whole bunch of new torture, Satanism emails. This is unbelievable. We're taking your phone calls right now. We'll continue on with our guest, Tim in Washington, Epstein and Bill Gates developments. Perfect call to bring up that subject. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? Right now, America is finally seeing the world for what it is. The emperor doesn't have any clothes, period. We now see it for what it is.
Right? No doubt that's literally true. Exactly. So as negative as stuff is to learn the horror, which we already knew, most of us, it's a very positive thing. We should be celebrating.
We should be. And we should also be, like, we should seize this chance for momentum, because we're not going to get this momentum ever again. Like, this is the first time the elites have ever revealed themselves for what they are. And we're staring it clearly in the face. What are we going to do about it as citizens, as human beings, as Americans? How are we going to oppose this and remove this disgust from our society?
And I totally agree. And so we can try to ask why the DOJ are wimps or they're in on it, whatever. We have so much already in these 3 million. I say get the rest too. But we have so much here. Just what we have is totally devastating. So let's focus on what we got right now.
Well, I am focusing on that. So I've been going to the Gates Foundation every weekday when they punch in, and I'm demanding I'm demanding for their resignation is what I'm doing.
Are you the guy for like 5 years that goes in bullhorns every week?
It'll be 6 years in March.
Well done, Lord Vader.
Thank you. Yeah, 6 years in March.
What do you make of Bill Gates canceling his trip to India for the big AI summit, in big trouble, lying, saying he wasn't with the Russian hookers, now admitting it? It's great to see. I think Bill Gates is circling the toilet bowl.
Bill Gates is so far down the toilet bowl that he's actually, like, you should tell Trump that if he really wants to win the midterms, because, again, his base is very disenfranchised. The only real way to get them back on track and to see, like actual change in our society is to indict Bill Gates. That's his only parachute in this. Like, everybody else is, we're bent on the wars. We're bent on the infrastructure. Everybody's just really bent on it. If he wants to signal to the American people, Bill Gates needs to be indicted for his
connection. No, I agree. And just like the UK knows, the public's not putting up with this. Keir Starmer's been caught protecting pedophiles. They've indicted the king's brother. They've indicted the U.S. ambassador, their ambassador to the U.S. I mean, we need to see that here.
Yes, we do. And I would love to support Trump, but I'm right now, I'm just doing my best to just focus on the pedophile cabal, the industrial complex that they have.
No, I agree. Bring them down, but don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. Support the good Republican candidates. Support RFK Jr. Support Tulsi Gabbard. Support the Border Patrol. Support Ed Homan, right?
Yeah. Yes. I would love to do, I'm going to support them, but really I want to make sure that my desperation isn't being exploited. And that's what I feel that the establishment is doing, is exploiting our desperation.
I understand that.
Kicking the can.
I don't think the Democrats are everywhere saying, don't vote Republican. See, your party's bad too. I think Trump's never running again. He's not running it, you know, in a year and a half, 2 years. So I think it's logical that we vote even more intensely, get others to vote. This is so important. I think it's a no-brainer. We don't want Democrats in there, right?
No, we don't. The messaging needs to be strong and it needs to be concise. We want these pedophiles removed from office.
No, I agree. And we're doing that, and they're resigning and they're in trouble. My point is the Democrats are litmus test. Don't vote Republican because of Trump, slow-rolling Epstein. That is a separate issue. We push for release, but we don't penalize Republican candidates because of what Trump and the DOJ are doing. We'll be right back.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Well, I've been aware of Brent Pike's material for a couple years, and I always see when Elon posts it, some videos get 100 million views, most only 50, 80 million, you know, no big deal. That's just more than the Super Bowl, and it gets spread everywhere else. I can't even track it. Brent Pike is the founder of the Classical Learning Homeschool Company, Homeschools Connected, and the author of Cubs to Bears Children's Book Series, which I've gotten for my daughter, the 8-year-old. The others are all grown up out of the house, including Charlotte in the control room. ClassicalLearner.com at Classical Learner. And he also, again, puts out these mega important videos. Be sure and follow him at Classical Learner on X. So we play a few of these reports for you. Let's play clip 6. Children are taught slavery is an American creation versus reality. Here's that report.
Why is it that public schools only teach about the transatlantic slave trade? They don't teach that there was slavery in the Ottoman Empire, that it lasted for 600 years and 5 to 10 million people were enslaved. That they not only enslaved men, but the most valuable slaves were women. Because sexual slavery was not only permitted, but it was institutionalized in the Ottoman Empire. So they would get many of their slaves from Central Europe, many of their slaves from the Balkans, and they would enslave Hungarians, Russians, Ukrainians, which is why the word slave comes from Slav. And why don't schools teach about the trans-Indian slave trade, which lasted for over 1,200 years and enslaved 4 to 10 million people? Or the trans-Saharan slave trade, which lasted for over 1,200 years and enslaved 9 to 17 million people? All of which ended, ready for it, not before, but long after the North Atlantic slave trade. And yes, chattel slavery was practiced in all of these places. In fact, in 1776, the majority of countries in the world practiced chattel slavery. And where Europe and the United States were early in abolishing slavery, it went on much longer in the Middle East, in Africa, and in places like China, Thailand, and Mongolia. And if you went back to 1776, you would find 90 to 95% of the countries in the world practiced slavery. And that had been the norm for thousands of years. And the United States of America banned slavery in 7 states when the rest of the world had only banned it in 7 countries. And the reason this isn't taught is that everything in school is framed through a Marxist lens of oppressed versus oppressors. So they intentionally teach our history out of context, which is a form of brainwashing that is designed to make dividing and conquering society easy. Because absent of historical context, it allows them to frame the United States of America as some uniquely evil place, when in reality, it is Britain, the United States of America, and the West that is responsible for driving the institution of slavery into extinction. You could learn more about that in my previous video. And this is why I teach courses on real history and what it means to be an American. And I write books on the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and so much more. Check out my private homeschool community, ClassicalLearner.com.
Record level homeschool. I'll play a few more clips before we go to our guest because he's amazing. This is just a few of hundreds of reports he's done. Just invaluable and all true. Here's a short clip from last night's State of the Union where they wouldn't stand up and agree that the government's main job is to protect its people. They wouldn't stand up for the U.S. hockey team. They wouldn't stand up for people murdered in blue cities by people, you know, released 40 times for violent crime. They wouldn't stand up for little girls run over by legal aliens. Here's Trump saying, shame on you. And look at Ilhan Omar's face, the hatred, when she's from a famous slaver family, her grandfather and dad, the military leaders, the dictators, killing hundreds of thousands of people who fled to the United States, brought here by the CIA. She tells you you're a slaver because you're white. She says white men are the number one threat. I mean, this woman is literally a monster. Here's a clip.
You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself. That is why I'm also asking you to end deadly sanctuary cities that protect the criminals and enact serious penalties for public officials who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself. Yeah.
Look at her hatred. I mean, she's a thoroughbred of piracy and slavery. Her family are genocidal warlords. And she wants to literally, I play the clip where she's like, white people are the threat, they're the terrorists, they're inherently bad. I don't say black people are inherently evil. I mean, it's just pure evil. I want to go to our guest, Brett Pike. I want you to see more of his great work. This is one of his latest reports just a few days ago that Musk posted. Frankfurt School completely infiltrated the American university system. Now, this is the 1920s in Germany, and they admit all of this went into MI6, CIA later, was set up here in the United States. Epstein's in the emails, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Oh, this is how we promote pedophilia. This is how we promote transhumanism. If you put a man in women's prison or men in women's sports or cut a boy's penis off, you can do anything. But it's all about Marxist revolution, Marxist theology, liberation theology, where they couldn't sell, this was declassified, and the communist papers wrote this in the 50s, they couldn't get American blacks and others to accept communism, so they made it about class warfare based on race. So one of the transgenderism, all this comes from, in the modern parlance, it goes back even thousands of years, it's the Frankfurt School. Here's his report.
Everyone talks about all of the perverse things they teach in school, but no one talks about where these things come from. The majority of public schools push feminism, climate ideology, atheism, critical race theory, and gender ideology on the students. And when you trace the origins of these ideologies, it will take you back to Germany in the 1920s, to something called the Frankfurt School. The school was made up of Marxist intellectuals who wanted to know why Marxism didn't successfully take root in the West. And their ultimate goal was to psychologically transform society through culture, media, and the education system. So in order to do that, they decided to expand Marxist theory into something called cultural Marxism. Whereas Marxism pitted the rich against the poor, through cultural Marxism, they could create infinite divisions and make more people identify with being oppressed. And through doing this, they could use minority groups to seed revolution and overthrow the West. And so they developed critical race theory, gender theory, sexual liberation theory. Well, the Frankfurt School was funded by Felix Weil. And in 1945, he made his way to America. And if you look up the school's key thinkers, most of them made their way to America, including Herbert Marcuse, who would live in America for 45 years, and he would become the father of the New Left. And that's why when they're pushing any of these ideologies, they're really just teaching cultural Marxism. And this is why I tell people that everything taught in school is taught through the Marxist lens of oppressed versus oppressors. And while they frame the discussion as grievances designed to give people power, it's really all designed to take your power away and ultimately cede that power to a small elite ruling class. And this is why I write books on how information is controlled.
All right, well, we'll get to that. And later, I want to pause in this hour and show the ways they attack us. All of them undermine humanity, undermine competition, undermine the family. That is the plan. And their behavioral psychologists, they admit that critical race theory, woke, gender, feminism, climate is all about humans are evil, families are bad, we need to depopulate. It's all about you hating yourself. So Brett Pike joins us. I really appreciate him coming on. We're into Marxist influence over the education system of society, CRT, gender ideology, feminism, historical indoctrination, historical ignorance, the development of civilization and rugged individualism as a unique American culture. Because generally, it's rugged individuals that create a culture that then become decadent and fall. America recognized that and said, with Teddy Roosevelt later, we're inculcating that so we can skip the cycle and stay in the cycle of renewal and competition. So, Brett Pike, thanks for joining us. Good to have you here.
Yeah, Alex, thanks for having me.
That's kind of a long intro, but you're doing an amazing job. You go wherever you want. I got a million questions, but the State of the Union, America, the Democrats, the globalists, the Epstein Files, the Age of Awakening, where would you like to go? I'll just kind of take the floor here, give people a statement. You're a really smart guy, impressive work you're doing.
Sorry about that. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to address a little bit more about the video we just watched, because everyone sees progressivism, they see feminism, they see gender ideology, and you can't effectively fight these things unless you study where they actually come from. And the reason
and what their mission has been deployed to destroy us, they admit.
The whole thing is to destroy us, because originally the enemies of America wanted to destroy America through class warfare, through upper class versus middle class versus lower class. But what they discovered in the West, and specifically in the United States of America, is they couldn't do that because America was the rising tide that lifted all boats. In fact, if you went back to 1913, before the Federal Reserve Bank, when they used to use American protectionism to protect American manufacturing, America not only had the largest middle class in the world at that time, America had the largest middle class in the history of the world. So when they tried to bring over this class warfare ideology, it didn't work. So the intellectuals got together and said, well, how can we make this work? How can we facilitate the communist revolution? And what they did was they expanded the work of Karl Marx, of class warfare, and they attempted to create infinite division. And this is where the critical race theory comes from. You could pit blacks against whites. This is where feminism comes from. You could pit women against men, right? And they use all of these ideologies to create that division so that ultimately they could overthrow the American system.
And let's be 1,000,000,000% clear. This isn't just in the 70s with Clark and Piven. That was just a reproduction of what they already planned. I've read a bunch of the books of these people, including Saul Alinsky. They say all this. You're not projecting onto it your opinion. They admit all of this. This is their admitted plan. That is key to understand.
Yeah, and it all starts, and since the 1960s, this has been going on, but it starts in grade school. So if you look at what's taught in elementary schools in the United States of America, if you look at the curriculum, the first thing they start kids with is the Native American tribes were here, and they were completely peaceful, which, of course, we know is not nearly historically accurate.
Yeah, cutting your eyelids off, burying you in the sand, facing the sun while red ants at your eyeballs. Yeah, real nice.
Right. I mean, like all civilizations, they had their violence. So I'm not trying to bash them, but the truth is that they were warring, they were conquering one another, but that's not what children
are. No, they were just as vicious as the Scots or the Huns or the we're all the same. And people that don't know, when the Mayflower and others landed, they'd tell them, you're going to help us go beat the tribe we hate next door, or we're going to kill you. That's why the first settlements, but Jamestown and stuff, just got wiped out because they refused to go kill the other natives because they were Protestants. So I'm not trying to demonize the Native Americans, but exactly, it was always, you're going to help us take out the tribe next door.
Well, yeah, they teach children about the Wampanoag Indians, who were the first Thanksgiving Indians. But they don't tell you that they ultimately got massacred by the Mohawk. And the Mohawk were Iroquois, and the Iroquois would genocide the Susquehannock, the Erie, the Neutral Confederacy. So there was a lot of conquering going on. But when our children are in elementary school, they're taught about these peaceful tribes, and then they're taught that the big, bad, mean Europeans showed up and killed these people, and it's framed as if the Europeans genocided them, as if they had any control over smallpox, and that's what really actually decimated a lot of these Indian tribes. That's in third grade, and by the time they get to fifth grade...
By the way, if anybody wants to see an accurate movie, Revenant is based on French and British scouts. Revenant's a true story. So people want to know what the Native Americans were like, watch Revenant.
Oh, yeah, really violent. And so this goes on, and by the time they get to fifth grade, they're being taught about slavery. So this is fourth, fifth, sixth grade, And it's being framed in a way as if this was a unique American evil. But when you actually provide historical context, and this is why I'm so focused on this topic, because we have to give our children historical context to understand the history of this country. When you provide the historical context, the truth is the United States of America banned slavery in 7 states in 1776. It had only been banned in 7 other countries in the world at that time.
Thomas Jefferson, in his first draft of the Declaration of Independence, banned it, but he couldn't get it passed, and he wrote about that. Keep going.
Yeah, and Thomas Jefferson actually signed the bill that ended the North Atlantic slave trade. England did in the same year, and then the United States, along with England, and especially England, and this is so important, slavery was an institution that went on for thousands of years across all cultures and across all civilizations. But there is a one culture,
Abraham,
there is
the Old
one
Testament
civilization.
Abraham and the Old Testament had slaves.
Exactly. And there is one culture, one civilization in the history of humanity that spearheaded the ending of that institution. And you wouldn't know it if you put on the media. You wouldn't know it if you went to schools. But it was the Western Christian white European that facilitated the end of an institution that had gone on for thousands of years. And our children should be taught to be proud of that. But the problem with the system, they know if children are taught that truth, the infinite division, the critical race theory, and all of this stuff doesn't work. And that's why it's so important, Alex, that we teach our children these things from a young age, because if we do, the indoctrination doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. I'm proud of my little bit of Native American. It's basically non-existent to me. I mean, I do keep a tan year around because I'm like 6% or something. But with my family, it was a kind of like a, even for my dad's grandmother, who was pretty much pure Native American, like it wasn't a big deal. You just really didn't talk about it. But it turned out her husband was the mayor of the town by then, and he was part Native American, but he wasn't Comanche. I mean, she'd been sent to Florida and all the rest of it. She was a kid to be reeducated, came back, Ma Jones. First name was Moon, actually. But the point is, I'm proud that I'm, my little bit of Native American is literally the lords of the plains of all the historians, the most badass. I love the fact. I mean, if I'm going to be part Native American, I want to be the most badass, which is true. But it's like, I'm not bashing them. It's just the reality is they were like serious Conan the Barbarian killers. So this.
Yeah, the Comanche got their land, right, by conquering the Apache and throwing them off the land. And when the conquistadors arrived in Spain, right, they were carrying out human sacrifices and killing 20,000 people at a time. So this narrative that we're taught and that our children are taught isn't true. And I always like to preface that. I don't say these things to cast shade on these tribes. I think these were amazing civilizations. But the truth is that the narrative that we are presented with is the exact opposite of what happened. And when the European came here, there was a natural clash of civilization. And ultimately, that's what happens when you thrust different cultures into conflict with one another, into proximity of one another. There's going to be a clash. And the strongest and, in my opinion, the best civilization won. And the lesson
and,
to be
and
had
again,
from
and again, Europeans were literally living in huts until we got Christianity. We had a high IQ, but that's what supercharges is the secret ingredient was Christ.
Yeah, well, we always hear this. You heard AOC come out the other day and say, white people have no culture. And what I would ask, I would say, is she deliberately lying or is she too dumb to understand the culture of the European? Because American culture really is the culmination of thousands of years of development of European cultures, right? It's the chivalry that developed in England, right? It's the Republic that developed in Rome. And it culminated in this rugged individualism that became this unique American culture. And this is why it's so important to not only teach our children the lies about what was going on with the Native Americans, the lies about slavery, but really to teach them what Europe was like before 1492, right? 1492 is really the bridge to the New World. And you can't understand it if you don't first know that Spain, right? And they definitely don't teach this stuff in Europe because they're just inviting the Muslims in. And again, love Muslims, but cultures have a right to their own.
I love them too. They're open religions to take us over.
So what I'm saying is that the Muslims had conquered Spain for 800 years, and the Christians in Spain had to fight for 800 years to take Spain back.
The La Reconquista.
And this was the Reconquista. And this was going on all over Europe. The Ottoman Empire had controlled a large portion of Europe for hundreds of years, right? Greece, the great Greek democracy. Do most people know that Greece was ruled over by Muslims for 400 years, and they had to fight for their independence?
By the way, Greeks were mainly blonde-haired, blue-eyed until they were occupied by the Moors for 400 years.
And that was systematic rape, right? That was the systematic, institutionalized, government-approved rape.
The Italians were blonde-haired, brown-haired, and red-haired, and that's why the joke is, I'm not putting them down, but like the northern Italians call the Sicilians the N-word. It's not nice. But the point was is that, you know, they got occupied a bunch. Rome almost fell twice to the Muslims. This is the real history here, folks.
Right. This was the organized, this was the history. This was the organized rape and enslavement of Europeans. And
we're talking about Hollywood, that the Crusades by Ridley Scott and all this with this mean attack. No, they were the result after 800 years of being overrun, finally organizing.
Yeah, and it took, and that's where, you know, we're taught, or school children are taught, the Crusades were this evil thing. That was a part of Christian Europe's attempt to take back territory that had been taken.
Who
right?
Richard the Lionheart, when he found out they'd overrun Poland, he said, all right, that's it, and spent everything England had to load up the weapons and go fight. Just like England was the place that ended slavery. And now look how overrun and evil England is, basically a caliphate. It's so sad that England kept defending the West over and over again, and then now has become the enemy of it.
Yeah, and if the English people really knew their history, right, if they really understood the great history of the European people, then they wouldn't have been conditioned into this kind of suicidal, empathetic self-hatred that has spread across the West like a parasite. And this comes from the school system. This is because our children are not being taught our real history. And if they understood this real history and what happened in Europe, right, leading up to the bridge of 1492, the relationship, and this gets to the more controversial side, but the relationship between all of the Abrahamic religions, between Christian Europe, between Muslim Europe and through Jewish Europe, right? And in Spain in 1492, when they threw out the Muslims, they also threw out the Jews in 1492. And right or wrong, I'm just saying the real history here, it's because people in Spain
believed. It's because a bunch of the Jews had worked with the Muslims.
Right, that's what they believed. And so people hear this stuff, and or they don't hear this stuff, and they don't know the historical turbulence between these religions. And the only way you're going to have peace and respect and understanding between all of these religions is if we stop the censorship and we talk about what the true history is.
I'm calling for a new crusade, not to go steal oil, not to go kill Muslims, but to say, no more, you stay in your area, we're in ours, and we're going to throw your asses out. We'll be right back.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells you what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor did.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Tabor's endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now, day off from the campaign trail, doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' methylene blue. It's pretty good, I got to say. I've been using it on the road since we left the studios, and I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexshowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lives.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Next hour, the MC revelations are piling in. I have like 50 of them. I'm not kidding. Kyle Saravan, top FBI whistleblower, joins us and more. And we got loaded phone lines too, good Lord. I'm going to start trying to go to those. But Brett Pike, very impressive, amazing individual, author, top filmmaker, reaching, I've got to say, billions of views. Going through the history, continue, because I've been interrupting, just backing you up. Everything you're saying is so true. Then I want to do a current analysis of the fact that all the old conflicts are still the conflict now, and the whole global system wants us to forget about that and act like it can control those conflicts and use those crises to bring in control, destroy the old West, and bring in their system. What Trump realizes, pragmatically, even if he was a globalist, which I don't believe he is, their system failed. China double-crossed them. Islam did. They have failed. And so now we go back to the power of the nation state, back to rugged individualism. Trump understands that's what made America great. That's where we're going. Please continue.
Yeah, and I think the word nation is so important because we've been sold this lie that America is just an idea or America is paperwork. But the truth is, America is an incredible nation of people. And it was really founded by European Christians who built upon European principles that went back thousands of years. Like I said, everything from Rome to the Greek democracies, to the Italian Renaissance, to the chivalry that developed in England and this system of honor. right? And I actually did a video recently how most people don't realize it, but honor is the most important word in the Declaration of Independence. And you know it's the most important word because it's the last word, right? You pledge your sacred honor. That's what Thomas Jefferson made the last word of the Declaration of Independence. And that was a tip of the cap to the European culture that this country was founded on. And for really up until the 1960s, when the country really sidetracked, American morality was the central piece of American law, right? We talk about that with, you couldn't rent a hotel room in the 1950s, right? If you weren't a married couple. And, right, so, and homosexuality wasn't tolerated in public, and abortion wasn't legal. And all of this stems from the Christian roots that was the United States of America. And sometime after World War II, Christians were convinced that, no, you can't allow your ideology to dominate law. And Christians took a step back.
Your religion is taken out, now the New Age rainbow religion is brought in. It wasn't that our ancestors were squares. They understood you had to hold the line. And honor is the real currency, because then you can count on what somebody says. It's all about the fact that they do what they're going to say. Now, where's honor? It's been thrown to the wind.
Yeah. So, and you nailed it. So when that void was created, they brought in the new religion. And the new religion, which really is cultural Marxism, and it takes a lot of different forms, right? We could say it's progressivism. We could say it's liberalism. We could say it's feminism. It's promoting homosexuality to children. It's allowing the state in many different states, right, to literally chemically castrate children without the consent of their parents. This is what happens when a country, when a nation, and that's the word you brought up at the beginning, when a nation loses the connection to its roots. And I think more and more people are realizing that, and they're seeing what has been done here. And they have ripped out the connection of America's Christian European roots. And in 1965, they passed the Hart-Celler Act, and they start bringing people in from all different cultures that don't have connection to the culture that the people who founded this country had a connection to.
And as the globalists say, classical Western culture, which you're right, it's the Renaissance, it's Christianity, it's chivalry, it's all these things. But in the globalist documents, they say it's the Scots, the Brits, and the Irish. They never would submit even to the Romans. It's this rebellious nature. We have to kill the West so people submit to our globalist takeover.
Yeah, exactly. And so then they start bringing in people from all different cultures, and they use the school system to teach this Marxist ideology. So they're basically framing it as the people that built this country and their ancestors, the American nation, right? Just like Japanese people are the Japanese nation, right? If we started to flood their borders with tens of millions of Europeans, everyone would say that's wrong, right? You're overthrowing their country by bringing in a different culture. Right. So they start to bring in people from all different cultures through illegal and legal immigration, which is just as, if not more destructive than the illegal immigration. They start bringing in people from all different cultures, and they use the school system to teach this Marxist ideology so that the children of these immigrants view the heritage population of the United States of America as being oppressors. And at first you think, oh, well, this isn't a problem when it's, all right, well, now it's 10% of the population. Well, fast forward 20 years, it's 20% of the population. And now it's 40%+ of the population that have been brought in from all various different parts of the world. And for a couple of generations now have been taught that the heritage population of the United States of America is inherently evil and are inherently oppressors. And the American nation is waking up and remembering that we have a right to our own borders, that we have a right to our own country, that we have a right to our own culture, way of life, rule of law. And the only way we are going to recover that is if we remember who we are.
Well, that's right. Let's explain. The globalists said this everywhere. The Western culture of classical liberalism, not modern liberalism, two different things, not neoliberalism, but liberalism, pay less taxes, have private property, have rights, have the right to travel. That liberal means more. The modern thing, it means less. Mondami, oh, illegals don't need an ID to vote or come in the country, but you need three IDs to scoop snow or leave your house. That's not liberalism. But the globalist tyranny is antithetical to that, so they have to bring down the West because they fear that it might sprout again. That's why it's under such attack.
I'd love to get your opinion on this, because I brought up this question the other day to my audience, and we're very freedom-oriented. I'm a very freedom-oriented person. But what I pointed out is, if freedom is more important than morality, then what legitimate argument would there be to not allowing gay pride parades to march in front of every elementary school in America, if that's the case? So morality has to be in front of freedom, and freedom's just as important. We want the First Amendment.
Well, that's, and the classical Western thing, right? Adults can do what they want as long as they're not hurting somebody privately, but we don't sell whiskey to 10-year-olds. We don't show porn to 10-year-olds. We can't join the military until 18. It is indecency with a child when they try to interface with children. I think that we follow the system. That's how it works.
Right, and that comes from morality, right? That stems from morality. So I wanted to get your opinion. Where do you rank morality versus freedom? And by the way, I just want to preface that when I say that, First Amendment, Second Amendment, like this is all fundamental, right? I'm not questioning that. But what I am saying is, to what degree should we make our morality more fundamental in the country? Because if you went to New York City in 1950, there were crosses on every building, and the morality, right, was center to the American
I'll
experience.
I'll answer it this way. It's... I don't think you can rate the two.
I just want to make everyone think.
No, I agree. Well, let's elaborate. It's a central question. Thomas Jefferson, people he competed with, Adams, others basically said only a moral people can be free, an informed, engaged moral people on average. And Jefferson talked about it being the yeoman farmers that actually knew how to do things, not just a bunch of educated idiots, even though he was very educated. And so I don't think it's either or. I think that you don't want a tyranny in the name of morality, but it has to be freedom for adults as long as they don't try to infringe on somebody else's freedom to grow up free and outside their evil. And you also have to have the freedom of free speech to repudiate evil even to adults. So I don't think that there's a calculation of where you rate something. I think a moral people with Christ in their heart are going to then create the right paradigm of balance of liberty versus tyranny. And so I think it comes into a spiritual decision within the individual. So where Christ is injected and Christ is, then you will have the true morality with freedom. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you nailed that. And it's been something I've been trying to prompt people to think about more, because I think we have gotten so far away from morality being a center part of our society. We've been coached to the point where we've surrendered our values for those progressive values.
Yeah, and that's Islam why has the argument, hey, we're not promoting pedophilia, we're not doing all this. Actually, they do. It's all legal the way they frame it. Oh, have sex with kids, but two men have sex, we're going to kill them. And oh, yeah, you can have sex with a three-year-old girl. It's the most pedophilic, sick system in the Quran and in the Hadith that come out of it. So the Muslims are like, oh, look, you're immoral, you're bad. Well, the very leftists that are totally satanic are allied with you.
Yeah, exactly. So I think these are fundamental questions, and it's why I think it's so important that we give our children a foundation in our history, our foundation in our morality. So that,
well, remember, the liberals and Dr. Spock, not a Star Trek, folks, the top child psychologists, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, taught parents, don't tell your kid what to do, let them be themselves. They meant don't give them any values so the state can give them their values. It is essential to literally explain all this to your children with your books, other material. That is the key battle.
Yeah, one of the greatest lies that we've been taught in our lifetime is that you send your children to public school because they're getting a neutral education, right? And what I would say is, if you let someone with different values educate your kids, you're crazy, because they're going to indoctrinate your kids, and they're not giving a neutral education.
And there are people that took that job in their own words to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're teaching that if you're proud of your ancestors, that means you're hateful, which, of course, that isn't true. So
we've seen videos, Australia, the UK, US, little girls particularly come home and cry. Not that the earth's dying because they're a human and they commit suicide, that too, but oh, I'm white, I'm bad. That is total child abuse.
Right. And you, right, if you espouse traditional views, right, the feminist in the school system, the teachers will teach these little kids that that's misogynistic, right? Those are hateful views. So everything that you believe as a parent, when you send your kids to the public school system, they're not learning it through a neutral lens. They're learning it through the lens of the isms. And if your children espouse the views that you hold, right? If your child goes to school, for example, and says that they support deportations, we saw the other day a video went viral of a middle school student punching another middle school student in the face because he supported ICE, right? Because the students in that school have been taught that that's okay because support for ICE is hateful, right? So the way everything is framed in school is designed not to be neutral, but to teach your children that basic right-wing positions are how they always frame it, are Nazi Germany, right? When, of course, that couldn't be further from the truth.
So let me ask you this. I mean, it does seem that normal human activity, just common sense beyond conservative Christian, like common sense is on the rise. The left's in trouble worldwide. Globalism's in trouble. They admit it is. How would you quantify the moment in time we're in and how you, what we can do to accelerate this victory versus how the bad guys are going to strike back?
Yeah, well, for me, and this is why I use powerful rhetoric, it's for one to restore the remembrance that we are a nation. I think that's really important, because if you don't know that you are a nation of people, then how are you supposed to defend it?
Exactly.
That's
why your identity is America's evil, it's bad, it oppressed brown people. That's the new identity. Take an eater in the Star-Spangled Banner. No, it's the opposite. Be proud. This is an amazing nation. Like the Democrats wouldn't stand up for the hockey team or for families of killed people. I mean, like folks, are you going to be with that group? And what is that group? That's literally a revolutionary communist takeover. No, America's not perfect. We want to make it better, but it's been the best. We should celebrate this shared identity that transcends race.
We need to be really proud of the country that our ancestors built, right? They're really proud of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, right? The right to a fair trial. These are fundamental things that we as a people need
but
to be proud of.
But the inventions and the architecture and the rugged individualism, these people were proud of this. They came here because it wasn't allowed anywhere else. This was a real revolution. We are the revolutionaries. We are the children, the great-grandchildren of revolutionaries. Embrace who we are, our true identity as rugged individualist trailblazers.
And then we have to have the moral courage, and this is why I bring up the morality, to remember that tolerance is not the ultimate virtue. Right, that we
it's
shouldn't
the opposite
be
of virtue. Tolerance is giving right. in who you are. It's being raped.
It's the devil's virtue, that we shouldn't be tolerant of open borders, that we shouldn't be tolerant of crime, that we shouldn't be tolerant of pride parades on
or
our streets
Sharia
in front
law.
Of elementary schools.
Let's talk about tolerance in Islam. It's not tolerant. There are two types of countries, Muslim and about to be Muslim.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you're tolerant of everyone, right, you say, all right, well, bring in, you see this in Europe more than here, right? But bring in tens of millions of Muslims, well, how long before the UK is conquered, right? Because really at that point, it's just a numbers game. So to me, it's about restoring the remembrance that we are a nation and then starting with our children from a young age. Because I always say you could spend all the effort in the world waking up adults, but if we allow our children to be put to sleep, then we're just, it's like being on a treadmill that never ends, right? We're just going to have to wake up more and more people. But if we
adults, we shouldn't fight the tentacles and the symptoms. We got to fight the disease. So spend a few minutes on you. I've been following you a few years, but you're reaching billions of views now. What woke you up? You look pretty young. You have best-selling books. What inspired you? Because that's an inspiration to others.
Well, that's a great story. And by the way, Alex, thank you for having me. And this is really a full circle moment for me because you asked about my awakening. I remember maybe like 2014, 15, my sister started telling me crazy stuff about the food system, and I was very asleep, so I thought she was a lunatic. But I respected her enough. I was like, all right, well, let me respect her to look into it. And when I looked, I found out that, oh, you know what? There is something here. So then I started looking for, I said, all right, well, who else is talking about this stuff, right? Because no one I listened to ever talked about it. And I came across this crazy guy who was screaming about the frogs being gay, Alex Jones. And I said, he's talking about the food system. And I started listening to Alex Jones, and you were a major part of my awakening. And as I went through that awakening, and you really woke, funny thing, actually, 2015, and I would not have been ready for it then, but I actually sent you an email that you could probably find about how I would make a great journalist for you back in 2015-ish. But I loved what you were doing.
By the way, that's my goal. When they finally shut us down, which is probably next month, people don't believe it because we've survived so much, fine, watch. If God's plan will spread. I was about to say during a break, we're going to start doing a lot of one-hour shows, even once a week. We would love to have you work with us. And so, yes, brother, that's amazing. Please continue. We didn't talk before. I didn't know we inspired you, but it's God's hand. So many times that we talk to people, 9 out of 10, we were critical in that. And that's why the globals are going to shut me down. They're already, the beautiful part about God's plan is that the awakening is so huge, they don't realize they're done. But sorry, go ahead.
So you were a huge part of that awakening. I came across you. I came across Richard Grove, Tragedy and Hope, The Peace Revolution. He's wonderful. And then I came across Owen Benjamin. And you all helped me in my awakening in different ways. Owen, what he taught me is about a lot of personal responsibility. So if you look at me now, we teach this to our students. So I homestead. And we grow our own food. I have an orchard, and we do all of that.
Yeah, he teaches really like Thomas Jefferson did. Real revolution is being a farmer. Because from that, you project all the power grows out of a family farming that's self-sufficient. That is the base level of power.
And exactly. And we teach this stuff to our students from a young age. And then I wanted to become the change. So what I started doing is I just started with my kids' books. Like, you know, I just started writing children's books.
And how
books,
old are you? Bears.
I am 37 now.
Wow, well, you look younger age. So how many children you got?
So 2018, my first son was born. Now I have 3 kids. But 2018, my son's born. So I'm like, how am I going to teach him about the world? So and that gave me the idea to write the kids' books.
They say necessity is the mother of invention.
It sure is. I didn't want him going through the school system. So then 2022, I had a big following, and I just started teaching classes. The first class I ever taught was Intro to Propaganda for Elementary School Students. It was a massive success. Since then, I have taught courses on the Bill of Rights, the American Revolution, the U.S. Constitution, Real Civics. We just partnered with State Nationals Rock. They're teaching a course on not only knowing your rights, they're teaching this course for us, but really understanding how to exercise your constitutional rights, which is so important. Last semester, I taught a course on propaganda using the book by Edward Bernays as our textbook, and we covered propaganda in the 20th century. I'm now partnering with all these great people. Old World Florida, he recently went super viral with his interview with Jake Shields. Old World Florida's teaching, and you can follow him on X, he's incredible. A course for us on the Age of Discovery and Columbus and what was happening with the Reconquista and really teaching children great history. I just partnered with Memory Medieval, and he's going to be teaching about the Middle Ages because we're trying to give our students that root. We study
Latin. It's so hot. I mean, the numbers on, do you have the current numbers on homeschooling? It's exploding.
Over 3.7 million families. We're teaching Latin. We're focusing on skills. Our students, they all garden together. So they garden year-round together. We do carpentry stuff. So everything's about skill development. And then we do a ton of entrepreneurial stuff. I'm teaching a course right now, and our students are currently selling their own items on Facebook Marketplace. But we do entrepreneurial classes. My students actually reached out to me yesterday, and now we're going to do it because I let them take ownership. We learned about investing. I had this incredible guy, Mark Quain. You guys could find him on X as well.
Well, let's do he this. Promise me you'll come back next week. Yes, I want to work with you. I've been following you for a few years. What's crazy is I'm like searching years ago, homeschool books, conservative. I already have 7 or 8 of your books my younger daughter has. And I'm just tempted to just even take her out of private school and just have her, you know, do your stuff because it is so on target. But I want to encourage you too. Please take this interview, put it on your own platform, edit it, cut it up however you want, because, you know, we just want to get this information out. In closing, other key points you want to add? What's your gut level? I feel like we're winning, but people can't take that for granted. How would you quantify where we are right now in this fight?
Well, first, let me say I've had a lot of cool endorsements, like a lot, Elon Musk and Ian Carroll. But having Alex Jones say his daughter reads my kids' books is like beyond the dream come true and the coolest endorsement I think you could ever get. And as far as, you know, anyone who's black-pilled out there, let me say this. If you saw what I see every day, I promise you, you would not be black-pilled. We educate
that's
thousands.
So the average person that's awake is alone. They don't wear a T-shirt with Trump on it. Folks, wear one of my shirts to somebody else's. No, you'll be white pill quickly.
We educate thousands of homeschool families. And I, through live classes on Zoom, I interact with the elementary students, middle school, high school, every week. And these kids are so incredibly awake. They know that the frogs are gay. And they're not only awake, but they have real skills. They have financial literacy. They have entrepreneurial experience. They know their rights. And they're learning how to actually exercise those rights in the defense of them the way Thomas Jefferson envisioned. And this is what I see every day. And I'm telling you right now, the future is bright. It was only like 3% of men that led the American Revolution, 1776. And we're going to have way more than that in a few years. So we will restore the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our nation, and our country. And I feel great about it.
It's beautiful. You got a lot of websites and stuff. Where's the best place to find all your educational quick videos you do?
www.classicallearner.com. That's classicallearner.com. I'm Cubs to Bears Book on Instagram. That's my more gravy Alex Jones style videos. That's Cubs to Bears Books. And then I'm also Classical Learner on Instagram. Classic Learner.
Beautiful. But it's got to feel good having Elon post your stuff every week. Brett Pike, thank you so much.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why Methylene Blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Unlimited power.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.